The third patient presented by Dr. Hart was a 39-year-old man whose actual diagnosis is chronic lymphocytic leukemia, which turns out to be very much related to the other lymphomas. As recounted by Dr. Hart, this young man had a very unusual initial clinical presentation.
He was one of the most interesting patients that I've seen in a long time. I got a call from the emergency room physician about this patient, and he said, "We have a gentleman in the emergency room that has a white count of 800,000. Now, the normal white count being 4 to 8,000. This was 800,000. Of course, I said, "I'm coming right in." And this person, interestingly, was about 35 years of age, too. So there was something in his picture which, just when I first got the phone call, seemed to be something unusual. Because, number one, we would not usually see such a young person with a chronic lymphoid leukemia. And the white count was extraordinarily high. So I went in to see him, and he indeed had a white count of somewhere between 800,000 and a million. But he actually did not look, he looked somewhat pale, but he definitely had large lymph nodes and a very large sized spleen, but he didn't actually look that sick otherwise. Although he had lost some weight, he looked chronically sick, but not like he was going to pass away in the next hour.
Where did you feel the lymph nodes?
He had lymph nodes in his neck and in his armpit area there.
How big were they?
They were moderate size, a couple of inches in size. So in his case, I was, because I'd actually, the second white count they got on him was already a million. And I felt until we got confirmation of all of this, and obviously we're sending off specimens of his blood for analysis by this, when I mentioned this flow cytometry, where they can analyze exactly what the cells are and do a lot of studies on them. I decided I was concerned about his white count being that high. So what we did to get sort of the ball rolling for his treatment was to do what's called a leukapheresis, which means there's a machine that will actually wash the white blood cells from the blood. So he was put on this machine, which looks sort of similar to a kidney dialysis machine, and it basically, your blood goes through the machine and it sort of pulls out a good number of the white blood cells, which are then discarded and returns everything else back to the patient. So it takes a few hours to do that, and it's not as difficult as it sounds if you have the machine available. So I called in the pathologists and they did this. So we did that a couple of times just to sort of take the edge off his white blood cell count until I could get a little more information. Looking at his blood under the microscope, it did look like it was mature lymphocytes. So I felt, although this person was extremely young, and I had never actually had a patient prior to this in their 30s with chronic lymphoid leukemia, I thought that's probably what he had, and indeed that was what his diagnosis was.
And how did you confirm that diagnosis?
He had typing done on his lymphocytes, and we, you know, did a bone marrow also, and his lymphocytes were typed, and there are certain features that these sort of cells have. When you look at them under the microscope, they look closer to normal lymphocytes than these very immature blast-type cells from acute leukemia. And all of the typing pointed towards this being a chronic lymphoid leukemia. He did have some features of a more aggressive type, which I didn't really need the machine to tell me that he had a more aggressive illness, because he presented with the highest white count that I've ever had in my career, as well as with enlargement of the organs. So I felt he needed to start on treatment right away. And there are different choices that you can do for these. In general, this disease, chronic lymphoid leukemia, is very similar to what we used to call a well-differentiated lymphocytic lymphoma. So this, I often have patients with these sort of lower-grade lymphomas that always ask, "Do I have lymphoma or do I have leukemia?" And I tell the patients, "Well, you sort of have both. It depends where you look. They're basically the same disease." So there is a indolent lymphoma, which is similar to this chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Can you talk a little bit about what the difference is between, quote, a leukemia and a lymphoma?
Well, a leukemia, by definition, is malignant white blood cells in the bloodstream. And so if you find the cells in the bloodstream, it's called a leukemia. They can either be lymphoid types, or they can be what's called myeloid types, which is another type of white blood cell. So the broad classification of leukemias is either the myeloid or the lymphoid. And within either one of those, there can be the acute types, which are very, very serious illnesses and need heavy doses of chemotherapy immediately, and the chronic types, which we often treat without any chemotherapy or either with some mild treatment. And a lymphoma is basically, by definition, what you find in an enlarged lymph node or another piece of solid tissue. It does not necessarily have to be a lymph node. So, but there are many similarities, and sometimes you can actually have the same cells And it's really the same disease. It just depends which part of the body you're looking into.
And what about the other types of leukemia? For example, the acute myelocytic leukemia. How does that differ than chronic lymphoid leukemia?
Well, much, much different. Chronic lymphoid leukemia can have, in its early stages, a survival of over 10 years, sometimes 15 or 20 years, and sometimes needs no treatment. Whereas an acute myeloid leukemia is one of the most serious human illnesses that requires an aggressive treatment. Generally speaking, when we first diagnose those patients, unless we feel that they are too ill to treat, we put them in the hospital. They're in the hospital for anywhere from, they usually take about one full week of continuous chemotherapy. They're often in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, and they sometimes then go on to bone marrow or stem cell transplant.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the therapy that you recommended to Mr. H and why you decided on that?
Once we'd gotten his blood counts down slightly from using the machines and I felt that he was not going to have an immediate problem, I decided to get him started on chemotherapy. I was very reluctant to use any antibody treatment immediately in this gentleman because he had such a large burden of cancer cells in his body. Remember, we talked about having reactions to Rituxan or the antibodies, and those reactions are much more common. So I felt he would be very likely to have a severe reaction. So I actually gave him CHOP chemotherapy, which is also effective in these lower grade lymphomas too, if patients have more of a need for an aggressive treatment. So he actually came down nicely with this, and after the first cycle or two, we did add Rituxan in. And so he continued to improve. His spleen shrank, his lymph nodes came down, his white count was gradually going down. Obviously, it started up extremely high, and it gradually worked its way down. However, he was certainly not in a complete response. After a number of cycles of CHOP plus Rituxan, he was not in complete response. Given his young age and the fact this was an unusual case, and we talked somewhat about second opinions, I felt in his case I did want to get a second opinion. He did have a brother. Because of his young age, I had him do what's called tissue typing, where his blood cell type is actually checked out, and his brother checked out too and turned out to be a match with him. So I felt that would mean that his brother could potentially be a donor for bone marrow or stem cells if this patient, Mr. H, were to need a transplant at some time in the future. And since he was slowly responding to treatment, I felt that we should at least investigate this. So I referred him to a major medical center, which was about 2 hours away, a medical school. And he was evaluated there by their bone marrow and stem cell transplant program. You know, they felt that he should continue on treatment and we would save the possibility of a transplant for some time in the future if he were to have a relapse, but they certainly did not recommend an immediate treatment with that. So at this point, we changed him from this CHOP regimen to another drug, which is commonly used in the lower grade lymphomas and leukemias called Fludara, and that's one of the more, fludarabine is a newer drug that has come out, which works somewhat differently and has a pretty good toxicity profile. I wanted to have him seen first because Fludara is one of those drugs that can make it slightly more difficult sometimes to use the patient's own bone marrow if you were going to do a transplant that way. So, but we already knew he had a match with his brother and we could do that, sort of the ace in the hole, so to speak, if we needed to. So I gave him some cycles of Fludara and he continued to respond. His white count normalized. He did quite well, no serious infections, although that's the one thing with these lower grade lymphomas and CLL particularly, you have to be on the very careful watch for infectious problems. These patients are very prone to many types of infections with unusual organisms. So he did quite well and has just recently completed a consolidation with an antibody called Campath, which has been recently released for use in patients with CLL. And he is now, as far as we can tell, in his blood in complete remission. In the next week or two, I'm going to send some marrow and blood to assay to see if there are any few little leukemia cells left or not. It's called minimal residual disease, and I'd like to see if we wipe that out or not.
Do you consider him curable?
That's a very good question. According to a textbook, would say not. I have to tell a patient that there's not any proof that a patient such as he could be cured, but I do think that because of the progress that is now being made in CLL, that potentially he is curable. Now, I should just back off a little bit from that. There have been patients who received bone marrow transplants or stem cell transplants from another person who can be said to be cured from these sort of low-grade lymphomas without a transplant. The question is, could he be cured? In the past, the answer to that would be definitely no, but I guess I'm an optimist by nature, and I think with the advent of some of these new antibody treatments, you know, the data on no patient being cured is based on the last generation of treatments. With the new generation, I do have hope that we'll be able to do that in people.
From a practical point of view, what's it like to treat a patient with CLL now compared to 10 years ago?
Well, the treatments are getting very, very exciting to me. I think the advent of the antibody treatments especially is very, very nice and gives us a lot of new things that we can do. You know, when we just had conventional type chemotherapy to do, it was a harder decision, I think, about how much good are you doing the patient and should you even try to get the patient in remission. I mean, what we were thinking about in the past was just if you had to treat them, just treat them for a little bit, get them kind of out of the danger range and get their counts down, but not really try and get somebody in. We didn't even talk about remission in CLL. I mean, no one ever even spoke of somebody being in remission, that somebody being, you know, having no leukemia cells found in their bone marrow was just not heard of. So it's very nice to be able to get to that, because we've certainly gotten, so we can talk about that in the people with the aggressive lymphomas. And now in these lower grade lymphomas and leukemias, I think that we're going to get, it's controversial still, I do think that there will be people that we can cure.
Now, how did he tolerate these therapies?
He did very, very well with almost everything. He is a young, healthy person. And he is an unusual person who at various times had a radio show and other things and has a lot of friends in town, and he leads a very active life. So he's felt somewhat tired. He tells me that he doesn't do as many wild and crazy things as he used to. But other than that, he's done quite well. His white counts are now entirely normal. He's not even the tiniest bit anemic. He has no more palpable lymph nodes. I'm getting ready to redo all of his tests and see if he's in a molecular remission. I certainly hope that he is. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
What do you expect from the future with him?
Well, right now he looks perfect. I would say he is 100% his normal self. He's doing pretty much all of his regular activities. So I'm trying to treat him with the intention of either curing him or getting him into a very prolonged remission. And I'm hopeful that he will be in a prolonged remission. I'm not going to know for sure until we get, you know, some further analysis looking for very low-level residual disease. And obviously there is a reasonable chance that he still may have low-level residual disease then. So I'm trying to keep up to date with the progress of this field about, you know, there's many articles coming out frequently now what to do with these patients. So, you know, he could be retreated with antibody, other things. And obviously, to somebody this age, I'm going to try to keep him free of disease for as long as possible and do whatever I need to do that.
Now, from your point of view, do you consider him kind of within the realm of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, even though he has a leukemia?
Yes, I think this is in the same realm because we're basically using some of the same drugs that we use. This is also a B-cell, low-grade type of cancer. So there are many similarities between this B-cell type chronic lymphocytic leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I consider them as part of that same spectrum.
What's the difference between a B-cell and other kinds of cells?
Well, a B-cell is one of the two major types of lymphocytes, the other one being a T-cell. And the sort of this depends what part of the body they mature in. The B-cells eventually turn into what are called plasma cells, which are little factories that make antibodies, which are a liquid part of the blood that helps to fight infection. They're proteins in the blood that go to kill off bacteria and viruses.
Now, on our first patient education program, we talked about the difference between the aggressive lymphomas, and John Leonard talked about that, versus the indolent or non-aggressive lymphomas like follicular lymphoma, and Brad Call talked about that. Would you say that sort of chronic lymphocytic leukemia is kind of similar to the indolent lymphomas?
Yes, it is. It's definitely in that category. The people at the very early stages, and I have family members of mine who were at this very early stage who, you know, I don't even use, with this one sort of family member of mine, I don't use the L word at all with him. I don't even use the leukemia word with him. I just sort of tell him that he has a lymphoproliferative problem of some mild type because he just has a white blood cell count which is slightly above normal with lymphocytes. I did send testing on him. He has the exact same process as my patient Mr. H had, but he's exactly the opposite end of the spectrum. He has a white blood cell count just a little bit above normal with no lymph nodes, nothing else. He needs no treatment, and hopefully he never will. He just needs to get his blood counts checked once every, you know, once or twice a year. And the other end of that spectrum is like Mr. H, who has the whole picture of everything going on. But they still are slow-moving cells in general. We're getting better with some of the new tests. There are some new tests that the readers may hear about from their doctors. One called ZAP-70 has a long, funny-sounding name, which is a way of looking indirectly into how aggressive this type of leukemia is. So we call it non-aggressive, but what the patients always want to know is, well, you say it's non-aggressive, doctor, but how am I going to be doing 5 years from now or 10 years from now? And in addition to this RI classification, which is still quite useful, we now have some of these more fancy molecular techniques to help us sort of fine-tune things in there. And I found that to be kind of helpful now in talking to patients.
You know, it's interesting, too, thinking about these tumors or these cancers, such as CLL and indolent lymphoma, that can have a very long history without you being able to eradicate them.
Right.
And you kind of get into the idea of what really is cure. And, right. You know, if you can remain without symptoms from the cancer and live long enough to die something else, kind of it has the same effect as being cured.
I tell my patients that all the time. The oldest patient in my practice ever was a 100-year-old gentleman with CLL who I never treated and eventually died, I assume, of old age. He just didn't come back one winter to see me, but I doubt very much that he needed any treatment. So certainly in the practical sense, if you live to be an old person and die of something else, then to you personally, that's a cure. And if you don't have symptoms of your disease. So I think we're going to be in the next, you know, 10 or 15 years making a lot more cancers like that. I think we're certainly seeing now breast cancer patients who are like that. And we're not quite there with colon cancer, some of these other cancers, but it's moving in that direction.